Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Phase Zero, Episode 17. We've made it this far. Why stop now? I'm your host, Brandon Davis. I'm joined today. Jenna Anderson is here.
Hey, everybody.
Charlie Ridgely is here.
What's up?
He's doing a little dance. A little dancey dance.
I don't know what I'm doing, so I'm just going
to... Listen, you committed. We respect that. We respect
that. Keep going.
If you did anything less, it would have been weird, but that was great. Yeah. Aaron Perrine is here.
Release the Charlie cut.
Yes.
We need more Charlie dancing.
Nobody wants that.
we got three people on this call right now who want to see it. Mm-hmm. So we have a big show. You know, I was kind of worried. Without a new episode of a Disney Plus show, no new movies, nothing. I was like, oh man, what are we gonna do in all these weeks until Loki? Well, Marvel said. Hold my beer. They dropped the sizzle reel on Monday. There's been so much Marvel news. We got quotes from Andrew Garfield, Dave Bautista, James Gunn. We're going to talk about a lot going on in the MCU world of news. I want to say something first. I ended last week's show on that call for F9 Fast and Furious fans. Do you guys remember? So I found a bunch of Fast and Furious fans. We did this video where they were like surprised to meet the cast. If you go on Ludacris's Instagram page, you can find one that didn't go so well.
Oh no.
That's all I'm going to say. It is a funny video. Is the video real or is it staged? I don't know. You'll have to decide for yourself. But I do want to say the other videos will be coming up probably in like June, but that was fun. I hope we can do stuff like that with Marvel on this podcast, but it's a fun F9 thing. Anyway, let's get to the news. We might be moving Phase Zero. We might be moving the day of Phase Zero.
Loki. I know. I was wondering about that. Yeah. It was like Marvel just went and screwed up our whole schedule a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So Loki moved up to June 9th. It's releasing on Wednesdays. Perhaps I missed this. I don't think anybody has said if this applies to all of the shows.
I was going to ask because I don't.
Yeah.
It's weird how it was implied because the whole thing was like Wednesdays are the new Fridays. And it's like, do you just mean for your show, Tom Hiddleston, or do you mean for Marvel in general? Like, it was not clear at all. At first, I just assumed it was all of them, but then no one else did. And then I kind of felt alone and I have no idea.
I feel like it's just for Loki. Like, it seems like they didn't want to conflict with Black Widow hitting Disney Plus on what would ostensibly be a Friday. And then like Bad Batch having new episodes every Friday. So like, I get it at the same time, but it also feels weird because I've been like ritualistically used to sitting down every Friday and watching a Marvel show. And so it's like, oh, this is going to kind of suck to have to move this to Wednesday now.
Yeah. I don't like change.
Normally my early day, because I get up at, you know, I worked an early shift. So I, instead of staying up late the night before, I wake up early on Fridays to watch the show before work so that I can like talk about it and write about it and all that stuff at work. And I don't want that to be in the middle of the week. It's nice to be like, all right, this is my last day. I can get up early. It's the last day. I can do it. I don't know about like hump day being that day.
I know.
I'm with you on that. From the work perspective, I like it having it on Friday right before our show. And then kind of our show is like I wake up so early on Friday that it's almost like my workday is done by the time this show is over, because I've already been up for 7 hours going at it, producing this and stuff. And now it's like, well, are we doing that on Wednesday now? Mm-hmm. But as a fan, like, you know, I don't think it makes a difference. Like, if you take the work out of it, you know, I think it's just a different day of the week. These things happen. And I definitely think it's just not to compete with movies and Bad Batch. Like, Disney Plus doesn't have enough content to drop content on the same days. It just wouldn't make sense, I guess. So, you know, what are they going to do? Be like, go watch Loki on Disney Plus and then go watch Black Widow on Disney Plus or in a theater. So, Aaron, you got any thoughts on this?
I mean, I hope that this is probably just for now, because they're ramping up so much more production of these shows that by the time we get to the fall, you might have enough that you can have concurrent days, although they might not.
Yeah.
I also thought it was just, it's the trickster god, so of course Wednesday. We're just going to screw with you, because why not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
One thing I thought was, when you get to the end of the year, you're going to have Star Wars and Marvel stuff.
I know. Yeah.
Running together. And so you're getting Marvel Wednesday, Star Wars Friday to really dominate a news cycle.
Yeah.
You know, that's when you start getting the questions. It's like Aaron said, when stuff starts coming back out.
Mm-hmm. I would kind of rather it have been on a Monday, like start the week with Marvel. And it's also Loki would have been here 2 days earlier, you know, a whole 4 days earlier.
Uh-huh.
But I just can't wait for Loki. Like, I think that show is going to be brilliant. I think it's going to be so entertaining. And if you look at how different WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier have been from each other, like what they can do with Loki really seems like pretty limitless. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
All right. So Loki is now June 9th on Wednesdays. Let us know in the comments. Do you prefer Wednesdays or do you prefer Fridays? Black Panther 2 got a title, Wakanda Forever. It's hitting July 8th, 2022. This came from the sizzle reel released on Monday. We're about to chop up this whole sizzle reel starting with this title. It's a good title. Anybody got anything on that?
I think it could have been disappointing in a lot of ways, and it wasn't. So I'm happy with that. I had in my head it was going to be Long Live the King.
Oh. And
I think this is better. I like this better than my idea. So, you know.
I like it because I remember in right before Infinity War came out, I think it was the Russos did an interview where they were talking about how they test screened the Wakanda Forever moment in the third act of Infinity War. And before Panther came out, that moment didn't hit the same way. And so then Panther came out and it was like this big, epic thing having that line. And so I like that we're kind of continuing the significance of that line through the rest of the MCU, because I think that's just kind of a cool little detail.
Wait, it kind of goes back to the Endgame thing. Like, I can't remember if they said the Endgame was always the title, but there was all that, is Endgame going to be the title? Like, what's the title going to be? But then after Infinity War came out, everyone was like, it has to be Endgame. Mm-hmm. Like, it has to be Endgame. Like, that's the coolest thing from that movie, and that's what makes the most sense. And it seems like it's the same type of, like, from that movie, with all the legacy of Chadwick and everything kind of behind it, this is the perfect way to go. This is how we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm. I see Aaron's face has a lot of thoughts, but too good of manners to cut anybody off.
Well, it's just like, I just remembering all the weird, like, whiteboard scribbling from the Infinity War Endgame era is just like so funny, like, to look back on, because we were just, every week you felt like, oh, they're trolling us. It's going to be Annihilation, or it's going to be this, it's going to be that. So it's nice to have like it all set in stone. Someone in the chat said that, are we just done with numbers? Manatees like manatees. And I'm like, yes, exactly. I was like, wait, what? Because Black Panther 2, not going to be that. Captain Marvel, we'll talk about that later. It's not going to be that. So I don't know. I would like to know a little bit more about the movie, but I know that's not possible. I don't know what that's going to be. Like, we know everything in God's Green Earth about Spider-Man and nothing about Black Panther.
No. And it's just a July 8th, 2022 turnaround. I mean, that's not far away.
They have to get started soon.
Yeah.
They have to get started yesterday. That's going to be.
I mean, it helps at least you have most of the core cast already like established.
Yeah.
You know, if they're going to really explore, like, you're going to bring in new people, but like, it's not, you know, like Spider-Man's always like, here's these three characters. And then every movie, everyone else is kind of different. You know, if they're going to explore Wakanda, you have like a core of 10 or so really great characters that are already there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like adding on to that. So it feels like everyone's probably got their schedules already sorted out for it, but there's still a lot that, I mean, in a year and 2 months, there's a lot to do.
Yeah.
There's a lot to do.
According to Malcolm Spellman, we're all fussing over nothing because apparently the trailer already exists. So we should already all know about it, right?
Did Malcolm Spellman say there's a Black Panther 2 trailer?
No, I remember he joked around. He's like, all these projects that haven't been announced yet. I'm like, apparently it's just in a vault somewhere.
Yeah, it's all, Yeah, they already filmed all these things. I do think maybe Wakanda Forever, not only is it a title that I think is probably, you know, a nice way to try to honor Chadwick, I think it could be, if I'm trying to get my tinfoil hat pretty tight, like a way to show, like, you know, a lot of us want to see Namor and Atlantis come in. It could be like Wakanda needs to have that extra, like, united pride. You know, like that moment in Infinity War where they say Wakanda Forever and they're ready to go to war and stand up for Wakanda. Like, maybe they're pitting Wakanda against Atlantis. I don't know. I would have found a way to spin it in there no matter what.
I've had the same theory, but replace Atlantis with Latveria and Dr. Doom, because there is the one storyline in the comics where Dr. Doom is basically just like, I want all of Wakanda's vibranium, and so I'm just going to go attack. And so I know there were theories like years ago or like a year or so ago of like Dr. Doom might be the villain of the movie. And so I feel like that Wakanda Forever context could also apply too, of like, oh, hey, this big metal guy is suddenly trying to come in and steal our stuff. So I think that would be cool, but I would be cool with Namor too.
Yeah. Dr. Doom would be a really interesting villain. I would love to see I've been here. Thank you. So I would love to see, that was a great moment for the podcast. I already remember what I was saying. Since the title doesn't have, like, I feel like whatever the movie titles don't have, like a comic book event title, it's just like, ah, damn, I wanted more information, even if this is a good title. Anyway,
it's like half of the movies in this phase are all, yeah, that applies to so many of them.
Right. Oh, you know, I don't even like it.
Because outside of Iron Man and Guardians, nothing else uses the number system to begin with. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, it seems like only the event things are event things, you know, like there was Civil War and that was like, okay, we know what that's about.
That was the last one that I think had a
everything comic else book. Is like, all right, this is, like, this, well, could go any direction.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, Captain Marvel 2 also got a title. It is The Marvels. It's hitting theaters November 11th, 2022. This one, obviously in reference to Captain Marvel, Miss Marvel, Monica Rambeau, and maybe one more character could be there. Jenna has thoughts.
Yeah, I know people have theorized that this could lead to the introduction of Blue Marvel, because he's also kind of part of that whole orbit. I know I've also seen theories that this could basically be the MCU stand-in for the Ultimates, because that's kind of a team that has Carol and Monica and Blue Marvel and a bunch of other characters that you could kind of switch out for MCU analogs. And it's like, that way you could do that team in a way that the name would make more sense if you called them the Marvels versus the Ultimates. But like, I love the title. I think it's so much more interesting than just like Captain Marvel colon whatever. Like, I think it's cool that each of the female characters and whoever else gets added on top of that is getting their own significance in the movie. I think that's just really awesome.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, again, the only thing that I think could have been more exciting is like if you put like Captain Marvel Secret Invasion, like an event title. So I think it's a good title, and I mean, like
Captain Secret Invasion on its own too, so then, you know,
yeah, already,
yeah, exactly. I think that's cool how the logo worked in the Ms. Marvel's costume logo.
Blue Marvel is one of the people that we all theorized was the engineer, right?
That
was one of the big engineer theories, right?
Yeah.
He's also in Spider-Man 3.
Oh, I have
Blue Marvel's in everything coming up.
Yeah, he's been there the whole time.
Yeah, as soon as he escapes Mephisto. Ant-Man 3, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania got a date February 17th, 2023. So far, I think all we know about this one is that it's got Paul Rudd, Evangeline Lilly, and Catherine Newton in it. Do we know anything else? And Michelle Pfeiffer and Michael Douglas.
Kang the Conqueror.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Jonathan Majors. Yeah. That's like the most exciting part of this movie, and I left it out. I'm fired. I will see myself out. Honestly, that's the, like, if you were to look at this slate without that piece of information, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania would not jump out at me as like the most, like the one I'd want to watch most. But when you put in Jonathan Majors as Kang the Conqueror, like, I like the first two Ant-Man movies, but this certainly amplifies my excitement for it in a big way. And I hope we see the earlier versions of Kang, like the alternate timeline versions of Kang and Loki. I would love to see what are the Victor, what's his, like, he puts himself in like different timelines all over the world, right? Is anybody on the Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania train?
There's a lot of stuff about, I believe it's Kang in, I wrote this whole thing, and we write so much that I forget what I wrote about like a month ago. When that Loki trailer came out, the character played by Gugu Mbatha-Raw, or Juju Mbatha-Raw.
Yeah.
Her, I can't remember Ravonna, the name of the character. Yeah, but she connects to Kane the Conqueror.
Yes.
She was like his original like love interest. Like he was obsessed with her. Yeah. And there was this whole thing and then alternate timelines and stuff. And so it's always been like, it always felt like Kang was going to be connected to Loki in some way. And then like they made the casting announcement so early that it just kind of, it was almost one of those like, hey, just in case like stuff comes out, like we've already made this announcement or news is already broke, you know, they didn't announce it, but someone told Deadline or whatever to about it. Right. And I don't know. I just, it feels like all the things are aligning for that to be the case. And for Kang to be showing up a lot earlier than Quantumania, especially if he's going to be the next big bad, like if he's going to be the next Thanos, which I don't know if he's going to be, but Kang absolutely could be.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, maybe a teaser at the end or a single scene, you know, like from Guardians with Thanos. It just, it all feels kind of right for that to be happening.
Well, if WandaVision taught me anything, it's
nothing's going to happen.
Go in hoping for Kang, but don't expect it.
We're going to see Loki and Owen Wilson, and that's it. The whole show.
Yep.
What are these times going to happen?
One of these times. See, here's the thing. With Kang, it could happen. Like, you don't have to see a fully realized Kang. It doesn't have to be a post-credits. And you could see one of those alternate timeline Kangs that he plants of himself to kind of take over that timeline and all that stuff. Because in comics, that's how he, like, conquers all of the worlds. He just leaves little versions of himself, like, different.
The MCU is going to get so messy so soon. It's going to get so messy.
I would love if it was like Spider-Man Far From Home and they never addressed it. And it was just Jonathan Majors walking around in the background of stuff while they're goofing around. It would make my life. Because it's like, what? And they just never address it. That would be amazing. But
that Leo meme.
Yeah, exactly. Like, did anybody see that? Oh, man.
And then Charlie Cox just walks by, too.
Oh, well, he's definitely in all the things they're making right now. Specifically Spider-Man 3 and She-Hulk.
Well, I'm not commenting further because it will be all over the internet again. But I do know what Charlie Cox did, whether it makes a cut of the movie, who knows. We got our Guardians of the Galaxy Volume. I'm sorry, I went back to the sheet there. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 is on May 5th, 2023. That's pretty much where we expected this one to come. I'm a huge fan of the Guardians movies. I can't wait for this one. So this I'm excited.
Gonna so sad. It's going to be so sad.
It's going to be tough. We have quotes that we're going to talk about in the second half of the show from James Gunn and Dave Bautista, both about this and other Guardian stuff. But it seems like they're setting up an end of the line for the Guardians, and I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready. Who is the one Guardian? Everybody go around that if you could give them plot armor. You guarantee their survival.
Wait, who's
the
one? Us or what we think is going to happen?
Yeah, no, I know.
Like what you want. Who's the one you really want to survive?
I don't know.
I mean, all of.
I know. Yeah. My brain is just like Rocket, even though I know he's going to die, because like everyone has theorized, like all three of the title treatments reference whichever character is going to die, and this new title treatment is like red and yellow, and so it's like that feels like you're totally hinting at Rocket. Well,
and he's been set up to die the whole
time. Like, that's, I know.
His whole storyline has been like Rocket's done. Groot, I guess, is the one because he really can't. I mean, you can always bring Groot back. I miss OG Groot, but like.
According to Vin Diesel, we're getting Alpha Groot, which James Gunn has since been like, wait,
I am ready for Vin Diesel to stop talking about Marvel stuff, though. I will tell you that. I'm excited for that to come.
Vin Diesel does not care about the Marvel snipers. Let him keep going. Put him in front of cameras.
Right. Let's hear it. He says stuff like Alpha Groot in that Vin Diesel voice that I'm like, I'd be cool if I didn't hear it again. You know?
In that same interview, he told me that the Guardians were in Thor 4, so I will take it. Listen. But it is fun when you sit across from Vin Diesel and I'm sure you guys know this, the audience probably might not know this, when you go to a junket, you walk in the room, the cameras are set up, you sit down, and as soon as you sit down, like before you even introduce yourself, clock starts, you have 4 minutes, and then they're like, say your name, where are you from, do this interview. So we did this interview for Bloodshot, and so usually you write down like 6 questions. You're never going to get 6 questions in a 4-minute interview. So then, like, when you're playing the game here, you want to be respectful of the studio that invited you. So I got to talk about Bloodshot, but I also need to get the headline and the ratings and the clicks. So I got to ask about the Guardians movies with Vin. So I asked him 2 Bloodshot questions, and we were down to like 30 seconds left because he talks like very slowly. Like, I'd be like, you know, more Valiant Universe characters in a sequel, and he'll just be like, Brandon.
If you get a talker in a junket, like, you're not getting anything.
Yep. Like, but Vin doesn't say a lot of words. He just says them all. Like, there's a lot of time between each word. Because
you can see the Dominic Toretto and Vin Diesel like merger over the years, like he's just taken that on, and she doesn't. He says things slow, but then also he's like, it's just such a like. He talks about like a privilege, and like talks about like he says a lot of things, but nothing at the same time. Says the same couple of words over and over again.
Well, so we got to the lady. There's always a person, like a person who's working the junket, who sits behind the talent. They're off camera, but they're in my line of sight. And they'll hold up a little paper. It says 3. It says 2. It says 1. And then they start giving you the wrap up symbol. And so she starts giving me the wrap up symbol. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know. I got to ask him about Groot. I got to ask about Guardians. So I was like, you know, Vin, I got to ask you, we're talking about comic book movies. Where's the Guardians of the Galaxy 3 at? What do you know? Or something like that. I don't know. Like, next time you play Groot. And he's just, Brandon, I have 2 words, Alpha Groot. And I'm just like, whoo, cool. You know, cool to hear. And then he keeps going. And I was like, I got to get out of this chair. The junket people are going to kill me. So then he's like, and also the Thor director has been talking to us and he's going to bring it. And I was like, oh, that, I'm glad you said that. 5 minutes later, when the sentence reached its end, we wrapped up. But yeah, and the junket production people were like, get out. You ran over time. Leave. Anyway, that's my Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 story. I would protect. Gamora already died. So like, I don't have attachment to 2014 Gamora. You know what I mean? We don't know her yet. So I hope that's going to be.
Yeah.
That's going to be the most interesting story.
I have told you it's.
Well, no, but that's what's going to be one of the most interesting stories, because we already kind of went through this with Groot, right? Where the character died, and then we met a new one who we kind of associate with the old one, but it's a whole new character. So with Gamora, like, is she going to fall in love with Quill again? Like, is she going to accept Nebula as her sister? Because Gamora made so much progress, and we're going to see it with Loki too on the show. So that's going to be one of the most interesting things, is where this Gamora goes. Like, is she going to go down the hero path? I think that. It's gonna be one of the most interesting things about this movie.
Yeah,
we'll see. We'll see. Anyway, that whole Guardians chat was totally unplanned. I'm sorry. I do love the Guardians movies though, so I just ended up going. And we got the first look at Eternals. Chloe Zhao, her movie looks beautiful. Beautiful people. All beautiful Chloe locations.
Look beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I watched Nomadland the day that sizzle reel came out, because my priorities are obviously upside down, and I didn't watch it yet. I watched Nomadland. I thought that was a fantastic film. Chloe is so creatively talented. I can't wait to see what she's doing there. Are you guys fired up for Eternals?
I'm really excited to see, like, just based off of those few shots that we got, I'm excited to see, like, the character designs and the alien designs that have come out in, like, the toy leaks we've gotten so far. I'm like, how is this character design going to work on this very practical, like, golden hour sunset kind of aesthetic? Because I can't fathom in my mind how that looks. And it's like, I trust her to do that and just make it look really awesome. But my brain can't compute how that works, especially in the confines of the MCU.
Is there so much opportunity, because the half the movie is set like in thousands of years ago, and like now, like, it's pretty split. They've talked about how it's going to be split over these thousands of years. That's going to be gorgeous. It's going to be gorgeous.
But see, that's what makes this movie so exciting to me, is that, like, so ever since I saw The Rider in 2018, like, Chloe Zhao has been like top of my list. Like, everything she does, I'm going to be first in line for. And so when she says she's doing a Marvel movie, it's like, first of all, it's the weirdest fit. Like, I know Marvel likes to get indie upcoming directors to do stuff. You know, Gunn hadn't done this kind of thing, you know, at least from a director standpoint, before doing this. You know, Taika was a very different kind of voice for Marvel. But Chloe seems like the biggest departure, because not just of what her movies say, but how they say them. And, you know, like, this incredibly low budget, working with real people, not actors. Like, she likes to shoot things herself. Like, you know, she got in a van and just lived on the road making Nomadland for months. Like, this is not a big budget type filmmaker to this point. You know, I think she can absolutely do those things, but it's such a strange thing, especially when you learn that she approached Marvel about making a movie. She went to Marvel and said, I want to make a Marvel movie. And they had talked about Black Widow, and that didn't work out. And they gave her Eternals. And she's talked about a bunch how she got to have a lot of creative freedom and how Marvel really let her do her thing the way she wanted to do it. You know, on the sets, they had all the people for all the actors kind of offset, and the sets were really intimate, unlike most blockbusters. And the more I think about it, the more it really feels like this is going to be the time where Marvel's going to let a director do their thing. Because you think about, she could have done Black Widow and didn't. Eternals, like you mentioned, Brandon, is set so, there's stuff in the present, but so much of it is set so long ago that in the mind of a studio like Marvel, if this doesn't get to be exactly what we want it to be, it's really not a big deal. If this ends up being something totally different, it's not really going to affect the next Thor movie or what Captain Marvel does. It can, but it doesn't have to. And it's like, this is the chance to let a filmmaker have their complete voice and just do a thing, especially coming after all the Oscar stuff.
Yeah, I would argue that phase three, they really embraced filmmakers, you know, mm-hmm. getting to do
it. To an extent.
I don't know. James Gunn, I feel like, was James. Like, I mean, you look at the first phase and Jon Favreau, I don't know that he did anything tonally or, you know, like in CGI and stuff that hadn't been done before with the Iron Man movie. I think he just made a very good movie, like an excellent movie, but it wasn't. I don't think Iron Man was kind of breaking any tonal boundaries or things like that. I would argue even the Avengers didn't do that aside from being the first ensemble thing where all these characters came together. I would argue Kenneth Branagh did the most kind of tonal world building in the first phase of the MCU.
Well, when you look at the first phase, I think everything's tonally different.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Captain America and Thor and Iron Man are all very different films.
Yeah, my point was that I feel like as it got further along, like when you brought James Gunn in, when you brought Taika Waititi in, and like, I mean, I guess the Russos are very good action directors. They balance the ensemble. I wouldn't say that they've done anything crazy tonally, but like Taika has his stamp. James Gunn has his stamp. I'm sure there's others that I'm just, this is just.
Yeah, I think a lot of them have stamps. I think where I'm kind of getting at with this is it's not just specifically the tone, but how they tell the story and how the movie looks. And, you know, a lot of Marvel movies look very similar. Even when Ragnarok had big colors, it still felt a lot like a Marvel movie when you watched it. It feels like this when you look at those stills and you listen to Feige freak out about real sunsets in a movie. And this, I'm gonna make a comparison, and Brandon, you're not gonna like it. And I'm really sorry.
Oh boy.
I feel like this has the potential to be the Last Jedi for Marvel. This is the movie that's gonna feel very different for people and be really divisive for people.
Brandon's face.
It's going to listen. You can take that in any way you want to. What I'm saying is, you look at The Last Jedi and the legacy of The Last Jedi and how it broke from the tradition that, you know, that
was established.
It broke from how Force Awakens did stuff. It told a much more, like, you know, internal type of story. It really examined character and spent real time with these little beats. And it kind of was off the beaten path of what you expected after The Force Awakens. And it divided Star Wars fans after that. I think it was a really critically acclaimed thing that a big fan base wasn't into. I really see the same thing happening with this, where it's a little bit slower. It's a little bit different. It takes its own direction. And I think it's going to be amazing. And I think a lot of Marvel fans are not going to like it because they didn't get the action and cameos and weird stuff that they wanted.
I think
action's going to be in there for sure. I'm not saying it's not going to be there. I just think it's going to be different. I think it's going to feel different. And to me, that's a big positive. I cannot wait to see what she does.
I would make the argument of, like, I agree with Brandon that there was more kind of creative flourishes in phase three, but I think part of it was phase three had to end with Endgame. Like, it had to build to this storyline that would encompass everything that we had seen so far. I feel like with phase four and going forward, every franchise is kind of allowed to breathe and do its own thing and, like, veer off into directions that don't necessarily affect the overall canon or immediately tease the next Avengers movie. And so I think that's how you're going to get more creative expression from directors and more just creative freedom through the sense of, like, you don't have to just tell one piece of a puzzle. You can kind of go off and build your own puzzle from there.
Aaron, I want to make sure everyone knows
it's positive is all I'm saying.
It was just funny to watch, like, the back and forth. I don't know what to expect from it because it's such an interesting departure, but also because none of us really have that much familiarity with the Eternals. Like, there's some people I'm sure who must be, like, really diehard fans of those comics and those characters and the storylines. But before they announced this, I didn't know except for the fact that Jack Kirby made them. That was like my baseline level of knowledge. So it will be interesting to see the first Marvel movie that adheres to my nice here's a tumbler shot of like water and sand and nice lighting and people smiling at each other and talking. It's going to be, that's going to be fun. That's going to be interesting for me. I'm here for all of it. If it's wonderful and it's like sets up the next big bad for it, great. If all I get is pretty water and slow motion and daffodils, that's fine too.
Yeah, I agree, 100%.
Or Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. We spent about 4 seconds on that movie. Talk about Guardians.
Quantity, you know?
What Aaron said is actually perfect because I wanted to mention this. We're going to end the show today. We're all going to draft Eternals characters because I feel like the audience, even us, we need to, I want to get everybody in the know on the Eternals. So what we're going to do at the end of the show, there's 11 characters we're going to draft from. Three of us are going to get three. One of us is going to get two. And we're going to have homework. Next week, we're going to come to phase zero and we're going to do book reports, basically. We're all going to spend a couple minutes educating our fellow co-hosts and our audience on all the Eternals characters we're going to meet. So we could, if you want, we could add Celestials as one of those things. We have a perfect 12 and then three each. What do you, should we put Celestials? Should we inform the people on what Celestials
are? As a general Celestials.
I'm not going to draft Celestials, but we could put
I mean, not individual ones. You're just saying
just as a concept, thing. Yeah, like gotcha. What the Celestials are.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we know which Celestials are going to be in there. We can't take all the time just to. Yeah.
All we really know story-wise is what we've seen in Guardians.
Yeah. And so that's how we're going to end the show today with a little Eternals draft. Listen, this has been going so well. I was worried that we were going to get 10 minutes into the show and be like, that's our show. There's so much more to talk about. So we're going to take a 1 minute break here. We have more news and quotes from Andrew Garfield, Kevin Feige, James Gunn, and Dave Bautista to talk about in the second half of the show. And I mean, we're still going through some more news. So we'll be right back in 60 seconds, everybody. See you in a minute. Bum, 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 bum.
I was about to say, can we get like the a cappella cover that was at the end there?
I was caught.
So the whole staff and like that like Jimmy Fallon Brady Bunch thing that they do.
Yeah.
And then everyone doing a little different part.
We need this remix. This needs to happen.
I don't know where the ad, like which platforms the ad plays on, but if you're on one of the platforms where the ad doesn't play, you probably just heard me whistling. Our 5 minute countdown intro.
It was so ominous. It was like a horror movie vibe. Like, I love it.
Yeah, that song slaps though. If you don't watch the countdown timer live every Friday, like you're missing out on a great freestyle rap.
There's a reason I haven't shut up this whole time. Part of it's just me. The part of it is
I don't have coffee. Listen, I didn't have time to go get coffee this morning, so I've been drinking C4. Like I'm bouncing what off the walls. C4, it's like
an energy drink or is it like a pre-workout?
It's like it gets you like I can't feel my face. Now. Anybody who's drank pre-workout knows that when you drink that stuff, like if you know, like, you know the TV, the old TVs when they would lose signal and it would be like the snow, it'd be like psh, that's how your face feels when you drink pre-workout. All that caffeine.
Yeah, don't drink it and then get in the car and go. No. That's a terrible plan.
You'll drive 300 miles an hour. Anyway, okay, we got to get back to the news. So we covered all the things that the Monday's sizzle reel announced and revealed, and it ended on a Fantastic Four logo. No date, no information. We just know John Watts is directing this Fantastic Four movie. How fitting that Fantastic Four would end Phase 4. And that's what it seems like it's doing. The question is Fantastic Four the new event film? Is it the new like Avengers closing out the phase? I'm okay with that if it is. If it's a good movie, I don't like, why not?
I would say so. I feel like that is like the idea of seeing the MCU not screw up the Fantastic Four, I think is enough of an appeal to Marvel fans to like, yeah, this is the big thing that will close it out. Cause it's also when you have like so many little nuggets throughout Phase 4 of Kang and Agatha Harkness and all of these things that are technically tied to the team in the comics, it's like that movie has the potential to not comprehensively wrap everything up, but there'll be all these little nuggets to like what we've just gotten over the past couple of years.
I
agree with you, Jenna. I think you're right, Brandon. It's going to be an event, but I don't think or really want it to be a like bring in all the other characters and make a big Avengers type movie. I think the Fantastic Four in and of themselves are, like Jenna said, that's enough to get people excited. I think that it will be the event. I just, like I said, it won't be as big as the Avengers in a good way to me.
I think it'll be very telling when we see Spider-Man No Way Home, like how many characters end up actually being in there. It sounds like a lot. So maybe that's what, like maybe John Watts showed that he can balance all those characters. And that's why they said, you know what, maybe you are a guy for Fantastic Four. So it'd be interesting. Yeah. What do you think?
I am now hoping for both your sake and all of ours that we see that freaking building in Spider-Man 3. I need going home to show us who owns the building.
Was that last week or 2 weeks ago? I asked Kari and she was just like, nah, I'm not giving you that. Yeah.
Yeah.
There were so many things in that movie. Because there was the 1, 2, 3 coming soon thing too on the subway.
Yeah.
And then John Watts ended up getting Fantastic Four. He might have already known he was doing Fantastic Four, been in talks for it when that happened. Like we know nothing.
Tell me who bought Avengers Tower right now, damn it. Tell me who bought Avengers Tower.
That was some nice ASMR in there. That was great.
Roku bought Avengers Tower.
Yeah.
Does anyone have a Roku? Anybody have, you guys have Rokus?
Nope. I do.
Okay, Aaron, have you watched the screen?
Yeah.
Avengers Tower.
In Roku, there's like a screensaver that plays, and there's all these iconic things from movies everywhere. And one time I looked it up because I was like, this has to be intentional. And like in every corner, there's a thing. Yeah. Like there's Ninja Turtles hiding in one place that I never noticed. At one point, there's very clearly like a building that kind of goes up and then has the, it's 100% Stark Tower, Avengers Tower in this thing. Yeah. It's the only place I've seen it since they got destroyed. But so I see it every night, you know. It's my dog's. That screensaver is my dog's favorite show.
Charlie. It was in the background. It was in the background while you were talking. Literally.
Oh, nice.
The Roku screensaver's going on.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So I don't know. Somehow I knew.
My dog loves watching that screen, so I watch it all the time. I just leave it on.
One thing not mentioned in the sizzle reel was Blade. And we said on the show just a couple weeks ago, I said it was going to start in September. Just this week, I think it was Hollywood Reporter said they're not doing September anymore. They're doing July of 2022. So we were right. Thank God. When we're wrong, people let you know. But they have decided to push the production back, which I think means that movie's not arriving till late 2023 at the earliest, if it's starting in July of 2022.
I mean, I think it makes sense to be the October-ish.
Yeah.
Of 2023.
Yeah.
If they can get Black Panther out by July 8th, 2022, and they haven't started filming yet, there's no, I can't imagine Blade. You know, I think that's probably less visual effects. I don't know, depending what story they do. I mean, it could be a movie with more visual effects.
And who directs it? There's a whole.
From July to October of 2023, you could get a movie out in a year and a quarter. And Moon Knight, we got the first Ethan Hawke set photo. Who the hell is he playing? He's wearing like a raggedy robe and he's got a beard and some hair. He looks like Ryan Hurst now.
I hope he's Dracula. Like I just want Ethan Hawke as Dracula. And I just feel like that would be a very, like, not only just because I selfishly want a live action recreation of the Moon Knight meme. That's not an actual line from the comics, but everyone thinks it is, of like, where are you, Dracula, you nerd? Where's my lunch money? Like, I want that, just that setup in the MCU. But like, I also think Ethan Hawke would play Dracula. I feel like that's just something he would want to do. And that costume to me just screams like weird vampire energy.
It felt very like Bram Stoker's, like the 1990 whatever year it was, the early 90s Dracula, like it felt like that kind of outfit. It looks, and you know, Ethan Hawke is one of those guys that like you said, he's not someone who I wouldn't think would be in the MCU, but like, I think if you're like, can you be Dracula in Marvel? He's like, oh, for sure. No doubt. In a heartbeat.
Absolutely.
You know, but there's like 8 Dracula movies in development too. So, you know,
could be Sun King.
Oh,
I don't know enough about the Moon Knight characters to guess outside of Dracula.
Jim's going to be in the comments, like trying to educate you. He already is.
I saw during the break, I took a look at the comments and Jim was like, I'm going to have a Jim only episode of Phase Zero.
Just Moon Knight.
Okay. Well, Jim tells me I'm wrong. And he said, hashtag free Jim. Jim has been in the comments, says the Machine 52. Free Jim. Everybody's true. Yo, no. Listen, I'll be honest. I text Jim. I said, are you going to be on the show this week? He didn't answer me. So I said, all right, I'm assembling a crew. I'm assembling a squad. And here we are. And I'm proud of us. I think we're doing a great job. All right. Moving on. Miss Marvel's costume showed up in set photos. I think it looks awesome. We can't show you the photos. We can describe them to you. It looks like a Miss Marvel costume. In the best way, I think.
Yeah. It's perfect. Like, honestly, it's exactly what I would have pictured. But also with like the little MCU flourishes of like she has the shoulder pieces that Carol has. She has like sneakers, which she didn't necessarily always have in the comics. So I think they're really making it a practical costume in a way that's going to be really interesting. I'm just curious to see how the visual effects work, because it's like you have to have this costume and then you have to have her like extend her arm 30 feet or grow really big or whatever. So it's going to be really cool seeing it used in that context.
Yeah. Yeah. Where does Ms. Marvel rank on your anticipation meters?
Pretty high. That's probably around the time in like grad school or like maybe even undergrad where I had the most time to read comics, and it was just an awesome character to, you know, like get introduced. Also, I mainline that Avengers game and she's basically the main character, and it's delightful. And her costume looks way better than that game in the series. So I'm totally down for it. It's going to be great.
Did any of the costumes in that game look particularly great?
You kind of come around.
You try to keep Jim out of the show, and you know Jim's going to be in the comments like, yo, the Superior Iron Man.
They had the Fraction.
The I've ever seen.
Yeah.
They had the Matt Fraction Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. That looked great.
That's true.
I just go back to that first reveal, the hockey pads, Captain America.
Well, and then the Funko Pops that they made, it was like, here's Thor, who looks like Ron Swanson when he's just like, I have a really bad day of just like bald, shaved head, just big beard. It was like, this is not what I want in a video game Thor. Like, this is the weirdest possible costume to be making a like Funko Pop out of.
The entire Verizon set, where it's like that, and if you have a cell phone, here's the Avengers in these weird costumes that are color-coded together that don't make any sense. And I'm just like, what is all this?
Viscardi says, Superior Iron Man costume is the worst costume. Jim. The boy Zerk says, what do you think they're going to do about the Inhuman thing? I think they're going to say the Inhumans show doesn't count.
Yep.
That's plain simple.
I think that it's not part of the, like, they don't have to say anything about it. They can just say she's an Inhuman and forget that the show existed because Marvel Studios didn't make it. And they have no reason to say that.
I see the theory that like the Inhuman show would be a show in the MCU of like, this is a fictional thing that exists. And I'm like, you know what? Go for it. Like, that show was so mediocre that at this point you almost should just acknowledge like, and just kind of poke fun at it more than anything. Yeah.
They'll meet Anson Mount in Miss Marvel, but as Anson Mount.
Yeah.
They moved, speaking of the Marvel TV stuff, they moved Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to the Marvel Legacy tab on Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. And they just keep like looking at Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans and being like, like you thought. And it's just like so many years. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. wasn't great the entire time. And people stuck with it until it got good, really good again. So it's, you know.
Jamie, forgive us.
Jamie, I love you. In the comments, just being like, why?
Listen, I'm not here. I have no slander for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I think it's realistic to say there were some spans of episodes that were not great, and then it got really good again. And I've heard everybody talk about that. So I'm not saying anything groundbreaking here. Get mad at me if you want, but they moved it to the damn Marvel Legacy section, and all the S.H.I.E.L.D. stands and the fans who stuck with it for all those years they just keep beating them down. It's like, damn, show some respect for the S.H.I.E.L.D. audience. Sheesh.
At least S.H.I.E.L.D. is on Disney Plus with the rest of the Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
That's true. That's
Daredevil true. And
one day.
I think they used too many characters and themes and ideas that Kevin Feige didn't have say in that he wants to have fresh. Mm-hmm. And I think that's if it doesn't get like brought into, like, if they don't endorse it fully in like the MCU movies or the Disney Plus shows, I think that would be why, because Feige wants to be able to do all those things without having to adhere to a canon that wasn't, you know, his.
It's the same thing with the Sony stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same. It's two studios working with the same kind of like slightly the same group of characters. And if the one that is big and makes all the money ends up using them, they're going to make their own version of it. And they're probably going to ignore the stuff that, you know, I say that, of course, as we're about to talk about Spider-Man.
The comments are calling for Jamie right now.
Summoned.
Free Jamie. All right, now we're going to do a segment here. It's called Quotes of the Week. And we're just going to read some quotes from actors. And you here, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say the quote. You tell me who you think said it. I do have this Twitter account, and I see like how often Spider-Man is trending, and it's people freaking out about a thing, and I'm just like, guys, like, I wish I could just be able to speak to everyone and say, like, I recommend that you chill. Like, listen, I can't speak for anything else but myself. They might be doing something, but I ain't got a call to the Happy, Sad, Confused podcast. Who do you think said that?
Well, I have the show notes open, so I can't answer.
I'll give you three guesses.
It was a British man in a hotel room.
So now we're down to two. So it was obviously Andrew Garfield, who first was saying no, 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 and then was like, never say never. And the obvious answer is you're in there in some capacity.
He very specifically said, I haven't gotten a call. Mm-hmm. And he emphasized call multiple times.
They texted his ass.
They sent him an email or they called his agent. Email.
Yeah. At this point, it's just, I'm honestly losing interest in the whole discussion at this point. Because it's out there. If they don't market, like, I can't imagine a scenario where they have Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield in a movie with Tom Holland and that's not advertised. Mm-hmm. Like that, like, it would be an amazing moment if we did not know this going into the movies and they just pop up. Like, I would have punched the seat in front of me so hard the person would have turned around and punched me because I would have just it would have just been my reaction. I've been so excited. But there's just no way that you have that's a $1 billion marketing play. By using those actors who I'm sure were convinced to come back by $1 billion each, which is an exaggerated figure. But, you know, I'm sure Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield coming back was not a cheap play. So does anybody believe that they're not in the movie at this point?
No.
I want to believe they're not in the movie.
The most interesting thing to me about that quote is that he has a secret Twitter account. I'm like, so you're just doing like MCU Stan Twitter? And you just don't know? Like, that is just really fascinating to me.
Kevin Durant of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I want someone to sleuth and like figure out his at because I'm just very curious what this like burner account is that he's
so
using.
So that's that one person who always responds to every Spider-Man tweet I put up and is like, no, Andrew Garfield is the best. Like, he did this so well. Oh, we see you, Andy. I'm going to call him Andy from now on. I can't believe he has a Twitter account. That's horrifying. These people use Twitter.
They all do. I mean, listen, there are some that don't. Like, Frances McDormand does not have a Twitter account. But, like, most major, like, people, whether you know or not, they're on there paying attention.
Did you know? I learned this from, friends who are influencers. People want to talk about you behind your back on Twitter, they put a star in your name. Like they put a star in place of one of the letters. Don't ever star search your name. That's where the real bad things are said. Anyway, but I don't think any of us are at that level yet, Brandon, to be. I
have seen those tweets. I've just never had them about me. I hope I don't ever have that. But yeah.
Yeah, I wish I didn't know because curiosity killed the cat and I spent the night crying. no, I didn't. But all right. Andrew Garfield, if you're watching. What's up, buddy? Congrats on Spider-Man 3. We got another quote.
He finally got Spider-Man 3.
I will say, though, that is the thing that excites me the most is like I loved Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man. I just didn't love like the movies and the way that they were written. And so it's like the fact that he has had so much unfinished business and he finally gets to kind of get back into the role and like fully put his stamp on it. That is like almost one of the most exciting things about this movie to me.
I love how Rankin 2700 felt the need to say he's not watching. That is Andrew Garfield. That's him. Yep. That is him.
He's got a burner twitch too.
Yep.
All right. Wait, Aaron, what were you going to say?
It's funny just because like everybody talks about those movies and it's like one of the most polarizing things in the entire Spider-Man fandom, but we can all pretty much agree. He has the best Spider-Man suit that's ever appeared in a movie or anything ever.
Yeah.
Ever. It's nuts. So hopefully he's there. When he walked into that hotel room and Nick Fury was like behind the door, like, it's fine. I can finally meet you, Spider-Man. Come be Spider-Man 3. That's what happened. He didn't get a call. It was literally Samuel L. Jackson. That's my theory.
I love how this means Andrew Garfield is getting Spider-Man 3 and Tobey Maguire is getting Spider-Man 4, mm-hmm. which would have been 10 years old this mm-hmm. week.
Oh, I was going to point out, though, before we move on. So Doctor Strange was initially supposed to come out today, like Multiverse of Madness. So if mm-hmm. everyone wants to just feel weird about, you know, the passage of time.
And so was Black Widow at one point, right?
Initially, like, because my boyfriend sent me the initial tweet from like the San Diego reveal. And it was like, it was supposed mm-hmm. to be today, which is just very weird to think about.
What a different time.
I would love to be watching that movie right now.
Yep,
14,605,000. And this is where we're at.
Welcome to episode 3 of Loki.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So Bautista said Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 is, quote, probably going to be the end of Drax. There was talks for a while about a Mantis and Drax and Mantis film. It's really because it was James Gunn's idea, blah, 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 blah. I've got Guardians 3, and that's probably going to be the end of Drax. Bruh. That is not going to be the end of Drax. How are they going to kill Drax?
I don't think they're going to kill Drax. I didn't take it that way.
Yeah.
At all. I guess, Jenny, you kind of felt the same way I did. Like, it just felt like this is the end of the story.
I just see it as like he might just go off and live somewhere. Hopefully he'll get a saxophone like he does in the comics, because that's my favorite useless piece of trivia about Drax that they haven't brought into the movies yet. But it's like, yeah, just let him go live his like happy life and just play the saxophone and, I don't know, maybe not just be with the Guardians. I don't know.
Did you know that Drax was also in Avengers Age of Ultron in the scene where the Hulk and Iron Man fight? He's just standing so still. You can't see him. So was John Cena. Anyway, Gunn also said Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 is still his last in the franchise. And he also pointed out all of the things. I want to point out all the things Gunn has going on between now and when Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 comes out. And this is from James Gunn's Twitter. Between now and then, we have the Suicide Squad, the Peacemaker TV series, the Guardians Holiday Special, and the Guardians Ride at Disneyland all coming out, which is actually at Disney World. He corrected himself in the next tweet. Last year, I wrote over 500 pages of script. That'll all be shot over the next year. I'm busy. Thanks for being excited. I mean, dude doesn't break, man.
Guardians. Wait, so that means Guardians Holiday is coming out 2022.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like holiday. I don't remember which year it was, but it's a holiday. Now you got me confused. I don't know.
It's gotta be 22. If he says it's happening before Guardians 3.
Yeah,
it is happening before Guardians 3.
Then it's 21 or 22.
Well, yeah.
So I would 22 makes sense. That's all I'm saying.
I think they said when it is, but
I can't remember. There's too many Marvel things in my brain.
December 2022. It's all running together. For late 2022.
Great.
Niche 009.
Then,
and it's also set between Thor: Love and Thunder and Guardians 3. So that's cool. And also, the Guardians ride in Disney World is going to be awesome, and I want to go. I also want to go to.
I'm excited that it's a different ride.
I'm in California right now, and I can't go to Disneyland because I'm not a California resident. I just want to see Avengers Campus. Anyway, right now we're going to end the show with this Eternals draft. I'm going to put all of the draft options here. Here are your choices. You can do Makari, Ajak, Icarus, Sprite, Fina, Gilgamesh, Xerxes, Kingo, Phastos, Druig, Dane Whitman, aka Black Knight, and Celestials. Charlie, you're on the big screen. I'm on the big screen. You're on the big screen when I left the screen.
And so what is the, obviously you said a book report, but what's the main objective here?
So what we're going to do
goal with this.
So we're going to spend the first half of next week's episode of Phase Zero, like the most educational little trivia facts, first appearance, anything you think is integral to the character. I want you to bring it, talk about it, you know, three to five minutes, each character, whatever it is. This isn't a speech class, but you're not going to get graded on it. You will. We're all going to judge your report, all of us, but we're not going to say it out loud. You'll see it on our faces.
My career rides on this.
So this is make or break. So we're going to start next week's show, educational course about the Eternals. And this is going to be anytime people need to know about the Eternals, I'm going to send them a link to next week's episode. I'm going to say, listen, you want to know about the Eternals? Go watch this episode of Phase Zero. Go listen to this episode. And also, if you're watching on Twitch right now, follow comicbook.com. Okay, Charlie, you're on the big screen. Take your pick. Who do you want to talk about?
All right, so I was wondering who's going to go first, because I think that whoever went first between me and Jenna was going to pick the same person. I think.
Okay.
And it's Kingo. is the name of first pick.
Charlie's taking.
I thought we would both be going after Kumail. So
that was definitely like an option. I was trying to think like more a little bit differently. But yeah, he was definitely on my list. But I'm excited to see
strictly for the Kumail of it all.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Now I'm gonna go from top to bottom. Aaron, you're up top. Who do you want? Kingo is off the board.
Kingo is off the board. Okay. All right, pick is in. Let's go Makari.
Makari, Lauren Ridloff for Aaron. All right. The speedster. Jenna, who you got?
I'm gonna go with Dane Whitman. I wanna go with my sad Jon Snow adjacent boy. I wanna cover him.
He's okay. Gonna be just like Jon Snow in
the MCU.
That's exactly why they cast him. You don't cast Kit Harington in a character who wears like a long black coat and carries a sword. It's just
I don't want it.
He's just Jon Snow with magic. Like
they're gonna tell him. Yeah. Dane, you're supposed to be the Black Knight. I don't want it. It's McQueen. I am going to take. Thank you. Listen, if you've been watching Phase Zero, the stellar impressions come out of her. You got to hear the Tom Holland sometime.
The Stallone was something else.
No. Okay, I am going to take Fina. Now, okay, so should we?
Are you snaking?
So we're going
to
snake because then I'll go last, but otherwise I'll just get three last picks. So then we'll go back. Okay. Now I'm going to take, I feel like this one might break some hearts. I'm excited about this one. I'm taking Icarus, Richard Madden, my boy. I'm taking Icarus.
So you have Fina and Icarus.
So still on the board to Jenna, we have Ajax, Sprite, Gilgamesh, Cersei, Phastos, Druig, and Celestials.
I'll take Cersei.
Cersei for Jenna. Emma Chan getting two roles in the MCU. We love that for her. All right, Aaron. Ajax, Sprite, Gilgamesh, Phastos, Druig, and Celestials.
Give me Phastos.
I knew it. I knew Brian Tyree wasn't coming back to me.
Who you got, Charlie?
I hope that Kumail watches this and knows he got picked first overall.
That's big. That is big.
Yep.
All right. So we have Ajax.
Ajax, Sprite, Gilgamesh, Druig, and Celestials.
Okay, well, give me Gilgamesh.
Gilgamesh for Charlie. And you got one more pick. We're going straight back to you. Do.
Let me do Ajax.
Oh, a little Salma Hayek action. I can't see it.
Yeah. Right. Let me do Ajax. The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard.
Okay. All right. And we are. Aaron was in the next one? Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Aaron, on the board? Because the list is all up and down.
Okay. We have Sprite,
Druig,
and Celestials.
Okay. Give me Sprite.
Okay, Sprite is yours.
Tropical Remix.
All right, Jenna, you're picking for both of us this time, Jenna. You got Druig or you got Celestials?
I'll take the Celestials.
Oh, thank you, because that seemed like a complicated research project to try to condense.
I'm down to just like figure out everything about the Celestials. So
I'm excited to hear your thoughts, because like I know what Celestials are, but there's much history to Celestials that I'm interested to see what you choose to talk about. Okay, so next week's episode, everybody, we are coming in with an Eternals crash course to start the show. And then I think we're going to do a movie draft at the end of it. We're going to pick from all the movies that are already out, and then we're going to let everybody vote on who picked the best movies. But here's who we got. Jenna's Eternal roster is Dane Whitman, Cersei, and Celestials. Really, you only have one Eternal.
I know. Yeah. I don't mind it.
But you have the one that's supposed to be the main character. So.
Exactly. Yeah.
Aaron has Makari, Phastos, and Sprite. Charlie has Kingo, Gilgamesh, and Ajax. And I have Fina, Icarus, and Druig. And we will see you next week to break all those down. And listen, if y'all want to talk more, you can do that all week long with us. That wraps up today's show. Jenna, where can they find you?
At Hey, It's Jenna Lynn.
Aaron, where can we find you?
At Summit Lake Hornet.
Charlie, where can we find you?
At Charlie Ridgely.
Boom. All right, guys, that was a great shout out. You can find me at Brandon Davis. BD, thank you so much for joining us on this episode where we didn't have an episode to talk about. Love it. Maybe we'll move the show to Wednesdays when Loki starts. Let us know if you think we should do that. We will talk to you soon. Jim Viscardi remains imprisoned. See y'all next week.